Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Our Father, we're grateful again for this privilege to pray. We thank you for the access we have in your throne room, and we pray that you would help us in the service tonight. We confess our weakness and inability. We pray that you'd be pleased to touch us in a special way. Open all of our hearts and minds and understanding to the truth tonight. Edify and build up the saints of God and convict and save sinners and give us judgment day honesty. We pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. My thought tonight is these two words here, benefits and salvation. I want to try to preach on salvation and its benefits.
Amen.
The Bible says here the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. And, you know, not just spiritual benefits, but America's been loaded and overloaded with natural benefits.
Amen.
Financial benefits.
Amen.
You think it's a hard time now in this world, in this nation. If you lived in some nations where they don't have sufficient food and where there's famine and starvation, then you'd be really be glad that you lived in America.
Right.
Well, you had sufficient food to eat.
Amen.
There's an eating joint nearly on every corner. Nowadays, we know what the Bible means when it talks about the last days of the eating and drinking.
Right.
Buying and selling, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. And so we're living in that time now. But here, I want to talk about salvation, which means deliverance, of course. Salvation and its benefits. Many people think that salvation is just a temporary something, and they have to insert a lot of their works into it, but that's just not right.
Right.
Salvation is a gift of God.
Hey,
you listen to the song about the love of God, and I said, I think last night, or one night, the cross of Christ rests on the eternal love of God.
Right.
Jeremiah said, the Lord appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And so the Lord has always loved us, actually loved us in Christ before the world was, really, and fixed the plan of redemption. And so one of the benefits of salvation is a pardon. We have a pardon. Now, when most people go to get a job, family men especially, first thing they want to know is what kind of benefits it carries with it. And a lot of jobs now don't have any benefits much. And they're cutting most of the jobs are cutting benefits all the time. But I'm glad the Lord don't cut his benefits.
Amen.
I'm glad there's no hard times with the Lord. The Lord's not about to push the panic button because gasoline's about $4 a gallon.
Right.
Somebody asked me a while back, said, what are we going to do if it goes to $4 a gallon? I said, we're going to pay it if we get it.
Huh.
Yeah, you're going to pay it. They've been paying $8 a gallon in Germany for several years for gasoline. Well, we'll just have to drive less, I suppose, or work more, do something. But in salvation, you get a pardon. That is, the law's fulfilled. The law's satisfied. When a pardon is given, the law's satisfied. Christ come down here and lived on the law and kept the law and died a curse on the law, and he fulfilled the law. And when you get saved, you get pardoned from the curse of the law.
Amen.
The law is fulfilled. That means the law is satisfied. The word pardon does. Well, the Bible said in Nehemiah 9:17, thou art a God ready to pardon. In other words, he's more ready to pardon than people are to receive a pardon.
Right.
He's gracious and
Amen.
Merciful, slow
Amen.
To anger. If God wasn't slow to anger, all of us would be in hell tonight. The reason the world's still going like it is now with all the sin and degradation like it is because God is slow to anger and of great kindness. If God wasn't long-suffering and reaching forth his hand of mercy and grace, this world already been cursed under the wrath of God and gone down. You're alive tonight. And you're here at this church tonight because God's slow to anger
Amen.
And plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
It is by his mercies we're not consumed. Micah chapter 7, verse 18, asks the question, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? No other God can pardon iniquity. Think of the billions of people tonight in the world that's trying to appease some kind of idol God. There's Hindus, all kind of idol worshipers in the world, and they constantly are trying to appease the wrath of their God. Well, I'm glad Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of God's law and died under the wrath of God. And when you get saved, He pardons you. Amen. That is, let the wicked forsake his way. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return unto God, and he'll have mercy upon him and abundantly pardon. I feel like saying, praise God, I got pardoned, and not only pardoned, but abundantly pardoned.
Amen.
You can't beat that, can you?
No, sir.
I mean, God just took everything that was wrong with you, everything you had did, and actually what you've done is not what's the matter with you, it's what you are. Takes all your sins and puts it all away behind his back and pardons you. Amen. That's full and free pardon. That's a gift of God. A pardon is a gift. He pardons you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. 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 Turns you loose unto grace. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
And not only that, but another benefit is you have peace. When you get a pardon, you have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, when we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's nothing like having peace with God. You know, if you're not saved, you have no peace with God. You may have a temporary peace of mind, a little bit long in this world, but you have no peace with God because you're condemned. He that believeth not on Christ is condemned already. And John 3:36 says, he that believeth in Christ is in life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so if you're a child of wrath by nature, and under the wrath of God, then there's no peace with God. When you get pardoned, you have peace with God.
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
And Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 2, says he is our peace.
Yeah.
Verse 14, Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. So I have his peace. The fruit of the Spirit's manifest rich of these. Love, joy, and peace. In the midst of a war-torn world, all kind of terrorist activities all over the world, we can still have peace in our heart and fill our head tonight and know if we don't wake up down here, we'll wake up in a better place.
Amen.
You can't, listen, you couldn't buy benefits like that.
Right.
Ain't that a good benefit?
Amen.
And then we have the presence of Christ in us because we have a benefit. He loads us with his benefits, the presence of the Savior. And to bless and help the presence of the Savior, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Now, in the person of the Spirit of God, he come unto us. Ephesians 3:17 says, Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Colossians 1:27 says, the riches of this mystery is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. So if you're saved, Christ actually is living on the inside of you. Actually, the inward man is born of God. God births the nature of Christ into you when you get saved. And that's a benefit. You see, God could have done it any way he wanted to. I'm glad he didn't only give us salvation, but he gave us a lot of benefits to go along with salvation. Think about the power of the Spirit of God we have now. The power of the Spirit of God. See, you couldn't go straight to tomorrow morning if there wasn't a supernatural power on the inside of you. The only reason we can live for God is because God's living his life through us. It's actually not us holding on to something, but it's God manifesting himself to us and through us.
Right.
See, the Bible, Romans chapter 8, is a security chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You can be a member of a church and not be in Christ. But if you've been pardoned and you've got salvation, you're in Christ. No condemnation, but you're in Christ. Now, somebody else might try to condemn you, but God won't condemn you if you're in Christ. There's no condemnation but you're in Christ. Who won't not act the fact that the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, made us free from the law of sin, that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin, that the wrath of law might be fulfilled in us. Who won't not act the fact that the Spirit? Now, we have a man in the flesh here. God ruled him dead when we got saved. But we got a greater man inside, and he's in the Spirit. So you read on down to Romans chapter 8 there in verse 8, and he says, so then they in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none his. So you can find out pretty quick if you're saved, is the Spirit of Christ in you? If the Spirit of Christ is not in you, then that's evidence that you're not saved. But if the Spirit of Christ is in you, see, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, we love Him, the Father, because He first loved us.
Amen.
1 John 4:19, ain't that right? Now, your love could wax cold, and you could get dilatory, you know, and unfaithful, and you could pull around and not keep yourself in the love of God, and you could get cold in your relationship toward the Lord. But when you get in a meeting where there's a spiritual singing going on about God and His love, and when there's preaching of the gospel going on way down inside, the old timers used to say behind the fifth room, there'll be a jaw bell ringing.
Yeah, amen.
You have a jaw bell on the inside ringing that lets you know that Christ is in you, and you have the power of the Spirit of God on the inside to keep you going for God.
Amen.
I'm glad we have that, aren't you?
Amen.
Oh, we have the power of the Spirit of God on the inside. Now, that's the reason sin don't have dominion over us. That don't mean Christians never sin, but that means sin don't control our lives.
Right.
We've been saved from the practice of sin. We don't have any pleasure in sin. And when we sin, we hate sin, and we hate ourselves for sinning. That's why you feel?
Amen.
Oh, yes. I say, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yes.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Though I got a warfare going on.
Yes.
And sometimes you may lose a battle, but the war's been won.
Amen.
I say, praise God and the Lamb.
Amen.
I'm glad the war's been won. I'm glad when it's all said and done, we're going to have a new body that will never sin.
Amen.
Now we have a sin in our bloodstream. We have a sinful nature. We have a greater nature inside. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is, sometimes we don't walk in the Spirit like we should. And if we don't walk in the Spirit like we should, we're liable to yield to the flesh too much. Because it's a constant battle. See, a lot of people, they quote part of a verse there in 1 John 4. Greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. Well, that's just part of the context. The context is talking about false prophets. Many spirits gone out of the world. Try the Spirit, seek of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in the place of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming in the place of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. So the context is Antichrist spirits. And then he says, little children, verse 4, little children, you have overcome them. That is Antichrist spirits. Because greater is He that is in you, Holy Ghost, than he that is in the world, Antichrist spirits. So he's not saying there that Christians will overcome every step of the way, but he's saying we've overcome false Antichrist spirits.
Amen.
And Antichrist spirits and false prophets will never get true Christians and keep them. If a false prophet gets you and keeps you, you get into one of these churches and they keep you, that's evidence that you don't know the right spirit. Now that's pretty bold, but that's the way it is. See, if you know Christ, you know better than to trust any kind of religion that don't have Christ in the forefront. You know better than to trust any kind of religion that preaches something else for salvation because besides in Jesus Christ, because He's only salvation, Him only.
Amen.
Nothing else. Seventh day keeping, living right. And I believe you ought to live right. In fact, I believe in living better than we live. One man said, I think you have to live right to get to heaven. I said, you do? He said, yes. I said, how right? You know, I know what he's talking about. He lived like his crew lives. Well, listen, if we could bring back the saints of God from 150 years ago, they wouldn't think any of us are saved. So you don't go to heaven by living right. If you go by living right, you have to live perfect. Because God wouldn't accept nothing but perfection.
Right.
And you and me can't produce it.
Right.
And Christ produced it for us. That's why you got to be found in Him.
Yeah.
Not having my own righteousness of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. So I got His righteousness, and His righteousness is the perfect righteousness, and we're found in Him, not in what we do or not in ourselves.
Right.
If I felt like it, I'd jump up and down on that. That's a great, that a great benefit.
Amen.
That's a great benefit. We have the power of the Spirit of God. And listen, that same Spirit's going to present us. Christ is going to present us faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. He's going to do that because we're in Him and we're clothed in His righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ to be sin for us. He didn't only bear our sin, He was made to be sin. Now, He bare our sins in His own body, but His soul was made an offering for sin. God made His soul an offering for sin. He was made to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when God looks at us, He sees us in Christ, and He don't see anything wrong with us. You say, well, I got so much wrong with me. I got so much wrong with me too. And if I look at that, I'll be defeated. But I look at His righteousness, and I'm found with His righteousness. And when God looks at me, He sees me in Christ, and He don't see anything wrong with me.
Amen.
See, you see a lot wrong with me, and I see a lot wrong with you if I was around you much.
Yeah.
But when God looks at us, we're accepted in the beloved. God wouldn't accept us unless we had a perfect righteousness. And that righteousness is a gift of God that He gives to us when we get saved. If Christians could ever get a hold of that, and they could be used more for God if they could quit looking at their own faults so much.
Right.
I know we got a lot of faults, and you ought not to forget that. And you ought to repent and pray over your faults. But at the same time, you got to take your position in Christ. That we're accepted in Christ and we're going to heaven on what He's done and what He's doing and what He's going to do and not what we're doing. That's a blessing, ain't it?
Amen.
Yes, we have the power of the Spirit of God on the inside. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the power of the Spirit of God on the inside to guide you through this world and keep you going when things ain't going good? See, the storm and the battles is really what tells what we are. Anybody can do okay while the sun's shining, the wind ain't blowing. Everything's going good, and you're well, you've got plenty of money, you know, everything. But when the trials come, when the persecution comes, when the storm comes, can you stay hitched up? You keep on going then, even though you don't feel anything much, even though you're not on shouting ground, even though you're in a dark time, in a valley, in a storm, you can still trust Him. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. That's what we need to do. We have a benefit, the power of the Spirit of God. On the inside, God could have left us by ourselves. But I'm glad He gave us the Spirit of God, aren't you? Then we have promises in the Scriptures. That's a good benefit. The Scriptures is what tells us we have a sure foundation. The foundation's not going to be moved. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. That everyone that entereth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We've got a good foundation. Christ is the rock, the foundation. Now, one big humongous church, they say Peter's the head of their church. Well, I wouldn't want Simon Peter the head of any church that I belong to, because Jesus said the devil was talking through him one time.
Right.
Peter said, this is never going to happen to you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Thou art offense unto me. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man.
Yeah.
So Peter had a lot of mistakes and faults, just like we've got. So he's not the head of the church, though he was a leading apostle. But he still had a whole lot wrong with him. Paul had to rebuke him to his face one time.
Right.
And he told the church at Galatia, trying to tear it up, trying to go back into circumcision and mix up law and grace.
Yeah.
So that tells you Peter had his faults, just like some of us have got our faults.
Right.
I got my faults, and you've got your faults. I would say you have some.
Amen. Yeah.
If I was guessing about it, I would say you did. We're called under the glory of God and His virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter 1:4. We have a promise from God. We have secure. We know we're secure. You know, we wouldn't know where we're going to stay saved or not. The Bible didn't tell us. See, we have security. It's in Christ. We would have it. even if we didn't have a Bible, but the Bible tells us about it. That's an extra benefit we have, and we don't have to worry now about going to hell, because we know that Christ conquered hell for us, and we have security in Christ, and He's going to keep us. He's begun this good work in us, and going to perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. And we know about His shepherd work, because the Scriptures tells us about Him being the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep. Yes. Are you glad He's a good shepherd?
Amen.
A shepherd. Sheep needs a shepherd. And us sheep here need an under-shepherd. And that's why the Lord give the church pastors. Because sheep are nearsighted. And sheep stray easy. And sheep don't understand the way to go a lot of times. And we have to have a shepherd. And Christ is our shepherd. He's our shepherd that leads us. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in John 10, Christ said, "I'm the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep."
Right.
And I'm glad Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And I'm glad here now that right through this life, He leads us as our shepherd. He's a chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, the under-shepherd will see a good under-shepherd will see the crown of life that fadeth not away. And what a blessing that is to know that He's not going to run off and leave us. He's the shepherd caring for the sheep.
Right.
If He didn't care for us, we'd be in big trouble.
Amen.
You know, we've got to have Him. And I'm glad we have a promise of the Scriptures. That's a, you know, and I say this often. You know, you could not have a Bible. The one of the psalmists said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." I'm glad we have a Bible we can go to.
Amen.
Every answer to any problem you have can be found in the Bible.
Amen.
And it is amazing how little people read the Bible. You know, we get so busy a lot of times, and we've got so many things going that we fail to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible when it's quiet. You need, one fellow told me, I gave him a few verses, and he said, "Well, I can't remember what the Bible says." I said, "You can't remember any book you don't read. And if you do read it, you've got other things on your mind, you can't remember that." My memories are getting bad. I thought a while ago, as I was singing that song, "Where We'll Never Grow Old," you'll like that better when you get old. Because we're going to a place where we'll never grow old. Ain't that right? And what a blessing that is. Well, another benefit we have is a place reserved in heaven. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy begotten us again to life and hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, watch it, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time." So when you get saved and pardoned, look at what God does. God makes special reservations for you in heaven.
Amen.
There's a special place that we're going to. Ain't that a blessing? And I'm glad that that you know, salvation would be worth it all. If there was no heaven to go to, I'd want to be saved. Wouldn't you?
Right.
I didn't get saved just to go to heaven. And I didn't get saved just to keep from going to hell. I got saved because I wanted to get saved, and heaven and hell is not the major points of the gospel. Sin and the Savior is the major points. And I was living in sin, and I didn't like it because sin carries a great penalty with it. You look around in this world today at the human wreckage, and you'll find out that sin has to be paid for in this life as well as in the life to come. And so you need to be saved from sin right now and have a little heaven in your heart to go to heaven in. And you can live peaceable here in this world with God and go through this world and have an abundant life. You have another benefit is a purpose for living. You know why people's dying? They buried a fellow yesterday at home, overdose. Buried one Saturday, the overdose. Just the one Saturday was, I think, 17. Just kids, young people, old people. No purpose in life. Nothing to look forward to.
Amen.
Listen, a benefit of salvation is God will give you a purpose in life, and you can enjoy it. Whatever you do for a living, you can work for a living, but you have a purpose that you want to please God, and you want to live for God, and you want to love God, you want to be a blessing to other people, and you can have a purpose for living and enjoy living.
Amen.
I enjoy living right now. I think God wants you to enjoy Him. He didn't want you to go through this world singing the blues and talking about how bad it is. One fellow was telling me how bad it was. I said, yeah, I know it. If we think one of our three cars won't start, we might be entering the great tribulation. Ain't that about right?
Amen.
Oh, if we had to be like our forefathers was, they walked to the meeting house.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? They walked to the country store.
Yeah.
They couldn't get in the car, run down to the corner market and get something.
Right.
No, we got it made in these days. And you ought to enjoy it and thank God for all the benefits we have today.
Amen.
You know, we've got a lot of natural benefits. Physical benefits that the Lord blessed us with. What a blessing that is to me.
Yeah.
I think it's God, for some unknown reason to God, we certainly didn't deserve it. Think about how America has forsaken God. Our founding fathers founded this nation on the principles of God's word. And for the last 60 or 70 years, we've thrown the Bible out. Just today in the paper, they didn't want the Ten Commandments and a little Head Start program. Anything else besides something about God? Did you know that's the way the other countries went into heathenism? They got God out of politics. They got God out of the schools. They got God out of all the social events. And now they got God out of the churches almost. And God's out of the home. And we're going down at a breakneck speed. And I've been telling folks, you better run for mercy. Hell's a popping and judgments are coming. Can't go on like we are now. You think we can go on like this?
No.
Of course, another way that tells us we're in the last days is nothing motivates us and stirs us when we see the last days. And I wonder sometimes what's happening to us. And I'm right in the middle now. Don't think I'm hammering on you. I heard a Jew say today, there's 200,000 missiles pointed at Israel right now from terrorist countries. Iran soon have the nuclear weapon.
Right.
They've already vowed to destroy Israel. All the countries, we helped them overthrow their dictators that they had and put worse ones in. Cut Israel's foreign aid off and still given to Egypt with the Islamic Brotherhood and worse than the one they had in there.
Right.
What am I saying? I'm saying it's about up.
Right.
Time's about up.
Yeah.
All eyes is on the Middle East. The Arab nations would like to see Israel destroyed, and our leaders have turned their back on Israel nowadays.
Right.
May God help us to see that if you're going to get right and live for God, you better do it now.
Amen.
You ain't got but a very short while, and I'm not setting any dates, and I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but I'm saying everything's going right into place. It can't go on. When they start this promoting this sodomy and this same-sex marriage deal like they are now, and and all this bestiality like they're promoting them and saying it's okay in the military, you can't imagine depraved human beings going so low in their depravity. That tells you God has turned them loose and they're going further down and further down as the day goes by. And thank God for the Christians that have the blessed hope, we're going up when Jesus comes.
Amen.
So only one way now. Everybody look right here. Only one way if you're not to go down on the wrath of God. And that's to receive salvation in Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way. And that's the reason we're going to give an invitation. After trying to preach Christ and the way of it, of salvation. And trying to sing the songs that you folks have sung tonight. About God and His love and His delivering power. We're going to extend, and actually God extends the invitation through us.
Right.
Let me say this in closing. God loves sinners through Christ, and God loves sinners through saints. Ain't that right? And that's why that I keep saying to Christians, we need to show our love and concern more to sinners than we're doing now.
Amen.
We need more concern because God loves sinners through us. And we show the love of God to them through our own Christian life.